Last week, you all narrowly escaped a confrontation at the roadblock, but tensions are growing. Catherine's encounter with her husband took a suspicious turn as he drove off with her, leaving the rest of you stranded. Now, with your car overheating, you've pulled over just outside Bakersfield. And you see the sign leading into the city. What do you guys do?
I immediately hop up in the car and just try to start chasing the car.
Wait, you're jumping in the car and trying to...
We just saw Meg... Kat just leave. We need to jump in the car and chase after her.
I think our car is still busted, though. That's a lot of steam.
Yeah.
I am not the mechanic. I just see if the car still runs, I will run the car.
I mean...
Are you guys coming in? Because I'm going to put gas on the pedal here.
I mean, we don't have any other options.
Yeah.
Then hop in.
Climbs my scrawny butt into the car.
Ryan will take shotgun.
Yeah. And then, because just floor it. See how long this car still has got to follow that car.
You try to start the car, and you hear the unfortunate sound of it not, like the key turning, and the sound of the car not starting.
I slammed the steering wheel. It's like, ah!
Come on, we gotta catch up. Like, isn't there something you could do? Just mash the pedals? I know that probably works. Twist the key.
I'm stepping on it. I'm stepping in everything. It's like, it's not moving.
Do you think there's an owner's manual in the car still?
Oh,
maybe.
Oh, yeah, I'll see. And Ryan will kind of fumble with the driver's side little cubby to see if it, what's in there.
This is your car, Catherine. What would be in there?
I would say a first aid kit, potentially. I feel like the manual would still be there. Like, just what hadn't bothered to either clear it out or knew that, like, it would be important at some point because bought this car, you know, to go places. So, seems like a handy thing to have around still.
So it's still in there. You find it, Ryan.
Ryan will kind of grab it over and kind of push it into Luke's face. Yeah, here you go.
Would Luke realistically know that it can be fixed right now?
I don't think so.
I just look at Ryan and it's like, we're not getting anywhere. We need to find something else. Even though I grabbed the book and everything.
Isn't there anything in the book, though? Like, just to get us a little farther?
The only option we have is to go on foot and hopefully... Meg can take care of herself. Maybe find a way to get out of the car. Or hijack it.
Hijack it? Is she in that kind of trouble?
She got in a car and it drove away and left us behind. I don't think she planned on leaving us out here. So, yeah, she's been kidnapped. And that is unfortunate. For everyone. Mostly me, but everyone.
Okay. Are there any cars passing by the road in this highway?
Yeah.
Okay. We need to stop one of those cars. I exit the car. move to the side of the highway, but not on the street itself. And I just start putting my thumb up, looking for, it's like, anybody wants to hitch a ride for this scrawny ass dude here.
As you put your thumb out, you notice that the cars who are driving past drive a little bit faster and speed past you.
Yeah, no, we're gonna have to cause a disturbance. Do I see any, like, fallen trees or logs or anything big that I could just put in the middle of the road?
No, there are trees. There are no fallen trees. And do you have the strength to pull a log to the freeway?
It's a log, but I have a different plan because of your question. You think we could push the car in the middle of the road? Maybe stop someone?
Oh, I mean, that could work. They'd have to go around.
Okay, agreed. Let's get behind this car and push it into the road.
No.
Yeah.
Look, for the possibility that somebody will crash into this car, let's take everything out first and then push the car.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Okay. We'll start doing that.
Okay, you put the car in neutral. A couple of you guys push it into the freeway. Now, the freeway is sparse. There are cars, but it's every now and then. So...
Wait. We also take off all the stuff first. Because something might hit the car. I don't know. Just to be sure.
Maybe only the essential items. Like... Nothing that we can just, like, leave behind if it got destroyed. Nothing that we would miss can stay in the car.
I look at all the stuff Meg has packed. I'm not sure if anything of those is essential for her. I know Kat has packed. I'm not sure if anything of those are essential for her. So if it's not bolted down, we will remove it. Plus, it will make it easier if we push the car forward.
Fair enough. Okay, let's get this done and hopefully someone shows up soon.
How wide is the street?
It is like a four-car lane.
Like, so we can realistically cover two lanes.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So you push it out. Right now it is empty and quiet. And 10 minutes pass, 15 minutes pass, another car hasn't come.
Imani is internally panicking. She's walking around mumbling to herself, biting her cuticles beyond repair. And she cannot sit still. So she is walking circles around this car, probably not helping with our search and making us look way more crazier than we actually are. But yeah, she's walking around the car, just pacing and biting her nails.
Another car passes. Well, another car makes its way. And it slows down as it sees your car blocking two of the lanes. It slows down, and it drives around you guys.
Oh, I know the pistol was in the boot, so I'm gonna just take it out, and I immediately rush from whatever side I am on. And said, "No, get out! This is a carjacking."
They speed off.
I fire. See
Really? Okay. Go ahead and roll strength for me.
Yeah, I'm not pushing that. I failed. I have one failure. I'm not pushing.
Okay. Bullet misses the car as it speeds off.
Ryan looks wide-eyed at Imani. I thought we were just getting help.
Yeah, and unfortunately, sometimes you have to start violence to get the help you need. I don't like it either. I'm a pacifist. I don't like it either, but we're out of options.
Oh.
I was just trying to copy what Kat did earlier. Somehow it didn't work for her, it didn't work for me, so...
Yeah.
Okay, who wants to walk?
I mean, do we leave the car in the middle of the road?
With all this stuff, we are not going to make it at all. We're not going to make it far if we walk.
Imani, you did mention we should just take the essentials. I think at this point we should really just take the essentials.
Fine. Fine. Let's get our stuff and start walking on the freeway, I guess. And she stomps off to go get her cooler full of medicine and her food.
I just bring the backpack I had with me.
Ryan will try to pick up a little too much of the items, kind of waddle for a bit, and slowly like drop different bags off as he's walking, realizing it's a little too heavy for him.
Are you guys leaving the car in the middle of the road?
Yes. It's empty. There's nobody passing the highway. Just leave it. It's extra effort.
It is.
You run out of time.
It's broken.
Just leave it.
I do feel bad.
Now, right, you guys are right near the exit. Like, you see the huge green sign that leads into Bakersfield proper.
How many miles?
Oh, it's like 1 mile. It's right. You're right on the edge.
Yeah, let's push the car back and just because it's just 1 mile away. So let's push the car back, walk the mile, and then if we have any help there, we walk back.
Okay. Hopefully they could drive us back. I'd rather not walk.
We do all of that and start walking.
Yep. Start walking down the exit.
Okay. Car gets pushed back to the side of the road, and you guys are walking along the exit. Another car passes by slowly, but this one is a black SUV. And it has no plates.
Ryan immediately kind of goes off into the shoulder where the grass is a little higher, kind of scrunches down like he has to tie his shoe, but is trying to make himself as small as possible.
You see it slow down behind you guys, almost to a crawl.
As we're walking, okay.
We need to go, like, somewhere fast. I mean, we don't have a car, but maybe we could just start running? Like, they're not going to go off-road.
Lucas already goes like way ahead. It's like, aren't we going already?
Oh yeah. And Ryan will kind of pick up the pace, trotting behind Luke, while still kind of like nervously, like he's trying to be nonchalant and glancing back, but it's kind of his head still whips back every now and again.
Did you catch up to Luke, or are you still behind him, Ryan?
I would still be behind him. He probably got a distance away.
Okay. And where is Imani?
I guess she's going with the guys. Like, she has no other options.
I mean, where is she in, like, the line? Is she behind Ryan?
Oh, yeah, she's behind Ryan.
Okay. You see that the black SUV turns off its lights.
It turns off. Is it daytime or is it nighttime right now?
It's nighttime.
Oh, that changes things.
I look over my shoulders because I was wondering if the car would pass by. And then once I look over my shoulders, I probably would see the SUV. So I just tried to wave it. Like,
Ryan will gesture like with his hand across the throat, like, no, please.
Seeing that, Ryan is like, what do you mean, no? It's stalking. It just wants to go ahead.
It's not a good idea. We should just go.
It's like, okay, we're walking. I'm not, like, if you want to run, Ryan, we will run. If I'm not really sure why you're worried.
Yeah, I'd really like to run.
Okay, you first.
Ryan will
just a warning, I'm not the best runner.
Ryan will just start at like a dead sprint forward and into the dark.
If you guys are gonna run, can I keep the gun?
I'm not running. I just want to see where Ryan run.
Oh my god, we are not gonna get the kid killed.
No, come on, let's just move on. As long as he's within sight, he's fine. If he starts getting out of sight, then I'll run further.
Okay. And then we get up and go do that.
Yeah, well, I'm following in a quick space just to keep Ryan in line of sight. But once I think he's getting out of line of sight, I'll pick up the pace.
Ryan, as you start to run, the car lights go back on and they start to speed up and get closer to you.
I look at Demani. That shouldn't happen, right?
Okay, let's go get him. And Imani runs faster too.
You see that the car door, the passenger car door, opens up and with a large slam, slams into Ryan's back.
Oh,
and
shit.
I need you, Ryan, to, so you can take it or you can fight back and try to dodge the hit of the car door.
Yeah, I would like to fight back.
Okay. So that's going to be agility.
Okay.
To try to dodge.
One success.
Ooh.
You are able to dodge the car door. You do hear it coming. You hear the car getting closer to you. Do you look to the side?
He'll kind of, yeah, whip his head to the side, kind of try to sidestep away from the door.
And you see, as the door is closing back, the car is in front of you. You see a woman in a black suit, professional, looks at you. Serious face, and then slams the door shut, and they also drive into Bakersfield.
I catch up to Ryan, who's probably on the ground, and I was like, what was that?
Ryan will be laying on the ground, his hat's kind of tumbled off to the side. Oh, they tried to hit me with the door.
Yeah, I saw that. What is happening with this group?
I
don't know. Can y'all slow the fuck down? And she's like keeled over trying to catch her breath.
They went into town, so I mean, at least they're not still near us, so that's good. I figured I could skip out on like a week or two of work and just get a slap on the wrist and I didn't think they'd send people.
I don't think those are your employers. I'm almost 100% sure they're not your employers.
Yeah.
Oh my god, everybody's getting into trouble. This is why this road trip was a bad idea.
Hey, you decided to come. You could have stayed home.
Because I was worried for Kat!
We're all worried for Cad. Now, without Cad, yeah. We have no ride to San Francisco. So, we should just focus
Let's
on maybe getting
here.
Her back.
You are like the ex. You know, because when I started this road trip, like just a few hours ago, I thought you're the X Factor here, Imani. Like, literally thought you're the X Factor here. But apparently, Cad and now Ryan over here are into weird shit.
Right.
Oh my god.
Dust off.
I help Ryan up.
Love him. Oh, I'd love to know that you thought I was the one who was going to be causing issues. Very rude, by the way. I expect an apology, maybe in an hour, but as soon as we get out of here, the better.
I have no mood for pleasantry right now. I'm just trying to get up, because, you know what, let's keep going. I can't think straight right now. I am...
You and me both, let's just get out of here and maybe find some place to sleep, rest, and regroup.
Yeah, that'd be nice, but just keep an eye out for that car. I don't know, they'll be lurking around.
Most likely, so maybe this town that we're going in has, a place where you can buy guns. What do you call that? What do you call that type of place?
A gun shop?
Oh, it's just the gun store? Okay. Okay, I guess maybe we'll find a gun store. I don't know. All I know is that we need to all of us need to be armed in some way, shape, or form.
I've never shot a gun, but I mean, it looks cool.
We're going to teach ourselves, and hopefully they have an instruction guide. I doubt it, but let's cross our fingers. And we're all talking to each other while we're walking, I assume.
Yeah. And then, because while we're walking, I'm just going to tell Ryan, you're literally entering this road trip with Kat, and suddenly there's somebody after you. You just put Kat in danger. And then the ex-husband, or husband, I don't know. I'm getting confused. Have you stopped and actually think about how you affect people, Ryan?
He's just a kid. How would he know if someone was going to hit him with a car door? Like, I doubt that he has any relations to anybody dangerous. I expect maybe you would have connection to somebody dangerous. Not Kat.
Yes, but I don't bring it with me in this road trip. I'm actually going there, but that's besides the point.
See, your presence is literally a liability.
First off, nobody's chasing me.
Well, it's only a matter of time. Give it a day or two.
These people really are. I just like storm off, pissed to high heavens that this road trip is not even a day old and it's going southwards.
I'm guessing we either walk in silence or have the casual bickering in between. In between trying to get to this town and find the gun store.
As you guys head in, it's pretty late, so a lot of places are closed. The 9-to-5 places are probably closed at this point. Bessie, you head in, you see a lot of old, rusted out cars, machinery lays in heaps off to the side, overtaken by dust and sand. You also see, weirdly scattered across town here, are broken drone animals. So you're finding them at random points as you're walking. Mechanical dogs, birds, other creatures that seem to once serve as companions, maybe? Or surveillance tools? And you could see that some are kind of still, even, like, barely functioning as they twitch silently off to the side. And you could see that others have been, like, completely gutted, seemingly by scavengers for parts.
Beautiful place.
You guys make your way in, and you do see a few places here. You see the Rusted Wrench Auto Repair Shop. And across the street from that, you see the Empty Tank, which is a former gas station, or current gas station. From what you could see, it looks like it could be shut down. It looks like it's functioning. Unsure at the time, but it's closed. And then down the street, as you guys are making your way down to one of the main, downtown main areas, you do see the Dust Bowl Diner as well. And that's still open. And next to the diner, there is a cheap motel as well.
Food or bed first?
Bed, then food.
I could eat.
Oh god, I'm a tiebreaker here. Let's get the bed first.
Oh.
Just because we're getting the bed doesn't mean we're not gonna go eat after. We just need somewhere to put our stuff so it doesn't get stolen.
I look around the area, it's like, I think you much rather keep your stuff where you are right now.
She looks down at her little cooler and her, backpack full of supplies or bag. And she's like, yeah, maybe. I guess food then? Food?
No, let's get the keys. Let's inspect the hygiene of her room just to be sure.
I don't think the hygiene really matters at this point. We can't afford to be picky right now.
The look of disappointment in Luke's face and anxiety underneath it, just like...
No, don't tell me you're a germaphobe.
And he, because you see him in his button-down, semi-casual wear. It's like, What do you think? Let's get that room.
I thought you were putting on appearances, but I guess not.
I dress like this because it's clean, it's comfortable, nothing out of place. You know what? I don't need to explain myself to you. Let's get that room.
Yeah, and I am not in the mindset to hear it. And then she continues.
You guys make your way as you pass the diner. You go to the roadside rest motel. And you enter in. Very, very cheap. You can even tell from the outside. You can see that some of the, like, the walls are starting to fall apart. And you can see things are not looking great at the roadside rest. But it's what you have for tonight. And as you enter into the lobby, there's one light on, one little dim light, and you see an older woman with glasses on, and they have the little string attached as well, the little jewels, the jewelry. And she has her head down, and she's behind a large desk. As you guys enter in, you can hear a little bell ding as you open the door.
What happens when a chosen one decides he'd rather make pastries than fulfill prophecies? He opens a bakery. Absolutely No Adventures is an audio drama that follows chosen one Sig as he dodges quests alongside his eldritch horror baking assistant and isekai'd New Yorker witch friend. In each bite-sized episode, he has a new epic adventure to avoid at all costs, while making friends and a few enemies along the way. Check us out on your favorite podcasting apps for breads, pies, cookies, cakes, and absolutely no adventures.
Excuse me?
Oh, well, hi there. Welcome to the roadside rest.
I'm glad to be here, so...
Glad to have you. We haven't had anybody in so long.
Comforting, but glad to be new guests.
We are comforting.
Okay, do you have a room for three people?
We do have a room. And you notice that she has been unblinking.
Can we have the room?
Oh, of course. A room for three?
Yes.
Well, we have two bedroom rooms and we have one bedroom rooms. Unfortunately, we don't have three bedroom rooms.
I'll take the one. For obvious reasons.
Of course, a woman alone.
Don't call me that, please.
Well, I will intake you first, ma'am. What is your name?
Imani. Just Imani.
Unfortunately, I'm going to need your first and last name.
Does last initial count?
Well, I will need your information and your credit card information, so...
Okay.
You understand.
Imani Thompson with an H. Here's my card. And she takes out her... I guess, like, combination credit debit card? I don't know.
Okay. Well, we do offer cash as well, if you would like to pay with cash.
She sticks the card back in her pocket and gives the cash.
Okay. That'll be $25 a night. How long will you be staying?
Just a night.
Just one.
I believe the woman can speak for herself. Thank you. Miss Thompson, how long will you be staying?
Just one night.
Perfect. One bedroom for one Miss Imani Thompson.
Thank you. Is this like a key card situation or a key attached to like a keychain thing?
Yes, exactly. Give me 1 second and I will get your key for you. And you see she gets up and goes to a back room real quick.
I love how, like, with my either-or question, she answered yes. Love that.
Now,
that's a lot.
We're going to cut to room 12A. Inside sits Catherine and her husband, also at the roadside rest. His car was parked on the side of the motel, nearest your room. Catherine, I didn't want to do this. And you see him leaning up against the door of the motel room.
She's sat in a chair by the window, kind of scrunched in a ball, not looking at him. Still looking out the window, sort of thing. And yet you did. It won't stop me. You can take me back 100 times, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times. I will keep coming to do this. You know it's going to happen, and I know it's going to happen.
You're going to force my hand, then?
She frowns. Force your hand? What do you mean?
If I have to tie you to a chair in this room to stop you from going on this suicide mission, that's what I'll do. Do you understand?
So you'll keep me prisoner?
That's not what I want.
But you're prepared to do it. Think about all the other parents like us who've had children stolen from them by this man. And you're just fine to let that happen, to let that carry on? I'm going to stop him, and I don't understand why you won't let me do this.
I'm not fine with this. I've never been okay. A part of me died when he did. But I know that doing this won't help.
No, Harold, it wouldn't help you. You have no idea what would help me. Because when he died, it was me who did all the planning, and it was me who did all the calling to let everybody know what had happened, and it was me who was left there to sit in her grief whilst you just, what, soundwatch TV? Not even looking at me? But now you want to try and care.
Here we go.
She, like, rolls her eyes and, like, sort of clicks her tongue. And it turns into a domestic. See, this is why it wouldn't work, Harold. Why it can't work until he's gone. Just, I will do whatever you want me to do. I will go back to being the wife that you loved and knew. If you just please let me do this.
If you go through with this, you'll never be the woman that I used to love.
She kind of shrugs, like, offhandedly. I'm not the woman you once loved now. What difference does it make?
I can't let you do this. And you see him start to wring his hands together.
She kind of, sort of tiptoes in the chair, like her feet are at tiptoes, just to get ready to get up if she needs to. I'm not forcing your hand at anything. When we separated, we decided we were going to do what was best for us. And I'm sorry that you don't like the way that I've chosen to deal with this. But it is not... You don't have any right to feel comfortable or fine. Because this is my choice. Like you said, I wouldn't be the woman that you loved once. And I'm not her now. So why does it matter?
He says, I'm not comfortable or fine. I haven't been since the day he died.
And you think I have? Or...
Of course not.
I don't know how that's meant to change how I feel about this.
I'm not moving. We cut back to the lobby. You see the older woman come back out. She hands you a key. You'll be staying in room 5.
Thanks.
You see, it's like a small key, but then there's like a large, like wooden, kind of keychain. Has a large number 5 on it.
She takes it hesitantly. Thanks, miss. And then she like kind of waits for an answer.
Miss Johnson.
Thank you, Miss Johnson. Really appreciate it. And she moves out the way so the boys can get the key to their room.
Hi, welcome to the Roadside Rest. My name is Gladys Johnson.
Hi, Gladys. I was wondering, like, what's the deal with all those animals outside? Did something happen, or can we take
outside?
Some of them? Just was curious. Yeah, just down the street. There were just some drone animals kind of just in pieces.
Oh, outside. Yes. I haven't seen any.
I mean, they're just... But they're just right outside,
though.
Don't
argue with her. Just don't.
I believe he can speak for himself. I don't think he's arguing.
I mean, do you want to come take a look? And then maybe I could keep one?
No, thank you. I know my place, and it's right here at the Roadside Rest.
Oh.
Okay, Ryan. step aside. Let's just get the key and just get some food. Then you can hear a beep from my backpack. I'm low on sugar. So, go on. Okay, we'll take the double room, please.
One room with double beds? Yes?
Yes, please.
Okay, and who will be paying?
I would.
And what is your name, sir?
Luke White.
Luke White. Will you be paying with cash or card?
I'll pay with card. And for my backpack, I pull out a credit card that still has its sticker on it, and it's a metal credit card, and it's black, and I'm just gonna hand it over.
Well, thank you, Mr. White. She takes your card from you, slides it across the desk, and you see her copying the information over. And then hands it back to you. Let me see what room is available for you to find, gentlemen. And then she stands up, goes back to the back to retrieve your room key.
Well, remember when I say nobody's following me?
Gladys isn't following you.
No. Before that.
Yeah.
I throw myself on the pile on that now. I believe somebody will be following me.
Oh.
Is that why you used your card?
Yes.
And you want them to find you?
Because right now, I think they're the only solution to my problems, which is finding Kat.
And she comes back out. For the two fine gentlemen, you'll be staying in room 11.
Lovely. Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoy your stay at the Roadside Rest. And please...
I doubt it.
Please visit the Dust Bowl Diner, where my husband works.
Oh, yay. There's more of you. Well, good to know. We'll be stopping there right now, actually.
Well, what's your husband's name?
We will check. Ryan, leave it. Let's check the rooms.
I mean,
I just want to be sure it's clean.
Okay. I mean, I
the rooms are clean. I assure you, I clean them myself.
Look at whatever Gladys is, and it's like, yeah, okay. I doubt that. Nobody gets as clean as I can clean, okay? I'm a bit irritated. Please don't test me right now. But Ryan, let's go to the room.
Okay. Well, nice to meet you, Gladys.
And Ryan will wait. Nice to meet you. What is your name, sir?
Ryan.
Do you have a last name?
He is unimportant. Ryan, just go. Go to the room.
Okay,
we have the key.
Okay. Ryan will kind of backstep up the stairs.
As you guys make your way out, we cut back to room 12 with Catherine and her husband. I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't know why I still love you even though you won't sign the divorce papers that I sent.
I told you, once this is over, we can... I can focus on us. I just... Ever since he died, I've been researching. I've had Luke here helping me research, and I am so close. I have never wanted anything so much in my life. And I know that seems strange. I married the love of my life. I had the perfect boy. But it doesn't matter unless there's justice. I don't care if it's justice by the law. I want my own justice.
You'll be the one to give it?
Yeah. I'll be the one to give it. For me and all those other parents and brothers and sisters who lost someone. That man took him from us. You act like it was some sort of accident or tragedy. It wasn't. He never would have if it wasn't for him.
You're on a suicide mission. I won't let you kill yourself.
Harold. Why does it matter so much to you? Like you said, you're the one who sent the papers.
Sit down.
You don't get to send papers to me and then dictate what I do to deal with that.
Sit down, Catherine.
No, I won't sit down. And she like moves forward to like closer towards him.
Catherine.
She throws out her arms. What? What could you possibly do? There is nothing you could possibly do that would get me to stay here when I am this close.
And for the people in room 11, they'll hear him shout, "Sit down!"
Whoa.
And you hear a slam against the wall next to you.
Ryan will jump and then kind of look, like he'll try to settle down, but he'll look at like Luke to see how he's acting and kind of try to mimic that.
I'm also in the room, by the way. I'm also in the room. I haven't gotten my room because I don't want to be alone right now.
Okay, I thought you went to your room.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I'm not being by myself at this point.
Okay, so you hear that as well. In room 12, he just shouted at you to sit down, and then after that, he, like, banged his fist against the door.
Has he ever lost his temper like that before?
No.
She would take a few steps back. Harold, I know this is difficult. I know that we are on two separate paths right now, and there seems to be no way that they can come back to each other, but I just need you to calm down for just a second.
Don't try to calm me down. I'm done trying to be calm. And you see his fist, both of his fists are like clamping up, You see the veins, like, going through his arms and his neck starting to protrude.
What kind of man would you have raised if he'd have been here to see you do this?
He's not here!
She takes a moment to, like, it, like, almost, like, sort of, like, wounds her for a minute, and she takes a deep breath before speaking again.
He's never coming back.
I know that. I'm not trying to bring him back. All I want is to find a way to grieve, and I don't see any other way to do that unless this man isn't breathing anymore.
You need him dead so that you can feel better?
Yes, and I won't apologize for it.
He says, I'm... I'm sorry for the outburst.
I'm sorry that it's come to blows like this again. But listen. And then she'll kind of rush him, sort of like take his hands in both of hers. We can talk about this in a calm way. And why don't we go for dinner? Why don't we talk about it over dinner? Huh?
Talk about what, Catherine? We clearly are on different sides of this. I'm obviously not going to change your mind, and I'm not going to change mine. So what do you want to talk about?
So it's your way or no way whatsoever. I have to do what you want. It doesn't matter what I want. It doesn't matter what would make me happy because you don't like it. We're just going in circles, Harold.
You're going to die. And I'm not going to let that happen. And he takes his hands away from yours. He opens the door to the motel room. He says, you're free to go. Although I don't know how with the state of your car.
I'll find a way. I'm resourceful.
You sure are.
And she'll like duck under his arm to get through the door. And then as soon as she's out, like she takes a few steps, and then as soon as she's out, she just starts sprinting down the hallway to get to either the stairs or the elevator.
Well, the way that this motel is set up, it's kind of those ones where you like drive up to your room door. It only has one level.
Got you.
And so you kind of just, you open up the door, you're out in you see room 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, and you're just running down. Eventually you'll hit the lobby.
Could I start knocking on the doors that were next to mine? So maybe you should try the lobby first and ask the receptionist before resorting to the doors.
Okay. Gladys is still there. And you see her. She looked like she was expecting someone. She looked very ready for someone to walk in. Before, when the other people walked in, her head was down. She looked like she was writing. She is up, eyes wide open.
Hi. I didn't catch your name earlier when I was checking in. I'm in room 12A. I just wondered if I could ask you a question or two. My car broke down.
Of course.
And I
my name is Gladys.
Oh, Gladys, thank you so much. I'm so sorry. It's been a day. My car broke down, you see. The man that I came with, he was giving me a ride to a motel for the night. My car's back on the highway somewhere, and I think my friends might still be there. So I really need to find, do you know anyone who could help me out with my car?
Well, yes, there is an auto repair shop here in Bakersfield. The last one of its kind.
Oh, I must have missed that. The last of its kind, too. That's lucky. Do you know if they do call-outs? If I was to go to them, show them where the car is, they would be happy to do that?
They might. It's called the Rusted Wrench.
The Rusted Wrench. And she'll sort of like tap her head. Show she remembers. Perfect.
Of course, they're closed now and won't be open until the morning.
Until the morning.
Yeah. So I advise you go back to your room, and when you wake up, go give them a visit.
I can't go back to my room right now. Do you have a spare room? Maybe. I think maybe the.
Unfortunately, all of our rooms are taken for the night.
She sort of like looks around the lobby, sort of thing. Is in like a, how on earth is this place so like been booked up? Oh, okay. Well, I mean, how many hours is it until that place opens? Maybe I could sit in the lobby.
Unfortunately, you cannot sit here, as I will close the lobby soon so that I can rest myself.
No, I completely understand, honey. It's just I really have to get this car going. Is it only the auto repair shop? I'm really desperate here. Is there anyone?
Yes, it's the only repair shop in Bakersfield.
She'll run her hands through her hair and sort of like throw her head back. No, you've been so helpful. Thank you. Thank you so much, Gladys. I am going to... It's been a long day. I haven't eaten. I'm going to go to the diner. If I don't see you before, I hope you have a lovely evening. And you get very well rested. And she'll sort of back away.
You might see me. My husband works there.
Oh, well, what was his name?
His name is George.
George. Well, I'll be sure to say hello to George and that I've just come from seeing you. How lovely. I've got to be going now. I'll see you. I'll see you around.
And she says, good luck with the rats. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Electric State, The Path to Dawn. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to share it with your friends and family, and don't forget to leave us a review. New episodes are published every week on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and Amazon Music. I'm your Game Master, Maia, and I'm joined by Arcturus as Ryan, Serge as Luke, Meg as Catherine, and Naya as Imani. Check out the links in the description to learn more about the game and our amazing cast.